You were very quiet out there. Did you all leave? Did you all leave? My husband's been begging me to do this, I think, for 10 years. And when he said, you know, you're on for the 21st, I said, no, I'm not. He's like, yeah, you are. I'm like, no, I'm not. Get somebody in. There's a great speaker in town. I know that can speak and share. And this is, you know, not really where my gifting is at all. But it was funny because I was watching a show and this scripture came up on the TV screen and it was just like, was just illuminated to me. And I was like, that's interesting. I like that scripture. And so I went back and I started studying it and I really felt like that was the Lord, you know, showing me that this is what I need to speak on. And it's kind of different, but it doesn't matter. Pastor is doing well. I haven't actually heard from him, but I've heard about him twice, and that's sometimes scary, right? When was it? Wednesday morning? I think the phone rang at like 5 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, I didn't even know God was up at 5, but guess he is. And the phone rang, and of course I answer, and it's Botswana, and it's Jana, and she said, hey, how are you? I'm fine. And she said, we don't know where Mike is. He hasn't shown up. He was supposed to show up last night, and he was driving 10 hours to get there, and it's now noon, and he's not here, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, and he's lost in Africa. He has no sense of direction, and this is not a good place, and there's animals everywhere at night, and I tell him always do not drive at night, but you know, when a man's driving, and he only has 2 hours left, and it's getting dark, I can make it, and I'm like, no, you don't drive at night. So anyhow, I was like, oh, serious, he's not there, and she's like, no, and we really expected him last night, and now it's noon here, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, and I'm like, okay. So things start flying through my mind, and I said, no, wait a minute. I said, what is the date? What's the date? I don't even know what day it is here. I mean, it was just confusion, and I said, no, I think you're a day off. I think he's only supposed to be there tomorrow. She's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, and she's like, I said, really, I really think that. So she said, okay, well, we'll keep waiting. And I'm like, okay. So that was a bit unnerving, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning. My husband is lost somewhere in the middle of the sticks. And anyhow, so to cut a long story short, he eventually arrived the next day when he was supposed to, but it was a bit unnerving. And then today I put on my phone and checked Facebook real quick because I thought he may communicate through that because he can't communicate to me, and he wasn't communicating, but Jana had a picture up of him and on the back of a horse, okay, and him and Pastor Glenn and Jerry and another pastor, and they went on a safari, a horse safari, and there's pictures of animals and them on a horse, and so I thought, hey, he's alive and well, you know, he's probably preaching to the animals, so we're okay, and so I haven't heard from him, but I heard of him. And sometimes that can be a little scary. But anyhow, well, I'm going to share with you this morning, and please bear with me. Just get something from it. I believe God can speak to us through a donkey. Amen. He can speak through me. So I'm just going to share my heart today and something that the Lord put on my heart. And quite a few things have been said this morning that confirmed that it's good. So let's just pray together. And Father, we thank you this morning that we can come and fellowship together and study your word. And Father, I do humbly come before you, and I pray that, Lord, you would anoint my words and my heart and my spirit this morning to speak words of life. And Father, I pray that I would only speak words you want said, and it would penetrate the hearts of people here. I'm not just here chatting, but Father, I want to see life changes and people grow in you, and that's my heart today, Father. And so, Father, I humbly submit myself to you, and I pray that I could be the vessel that you have for some reason put up here today. And I just pray that you would go before me and go behind me, Lord, and just bless everything that is done here and as we fellowship here this morning. And I thank you for it, and I give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. All right, this morning I'm going to start, I'm speaking out of Daniel. Daniel is one of my favorite books of the Bible, and I'm going to read quite a bit from Daniel 1 through 28, and what I'm focusing on is the writing on the wall. And It's funny, Nate asked me yesterday, so what you preaching on? What's your sermon? And so I looked at him and I said, when God crashes your party. And he looked at me and he said, oh. So I don't know what he actually thought about that, but really it's the writing on the wall that I want to focus on. And also when God crashes a party, and that's your party and your life. And I want to start reading in Daniel 5, and it's going to be quite a bit of reading. So, and I don't have notes up here. I'm not that professional like Pastor. I just have to read the word. So open your Bible and in chapter 5. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of the Lord and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. While he tasted the wine, gave command to bring gold and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple, which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem, and the kings and his lords, his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine, praised God, the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. So we're sitting up here, he's sitting up here for a feast and a party, which is not a good thing at this time. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. I don't know about you, but if I was throwing a party and a hand wrote on the wall in my living room during my party, I think I would probably react the same way he did right here. Then the king's countenance changed, I would think so. And his thoughts troubled him. I bet there was a lot of quick, sober people in that room that night. So that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. The king cried aloud to bring astrologers and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me the interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now all the king's wise men came, and they could not read the writing or make known to the king the interpretation. He was greatly troubled, and then the queen comes, and she says, you know, O king, live forever, let your thoughts not be troubled, and let your countenance change. There is a man in the kingdom whom is the spirit of the Holy God, and in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. The king Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, soothsayers. Is an excellent spirit. He has knowledge, understanding, interprets dreams, riddles, explaining. And these things are found in Daniel. And then it says, Daniel was brought before the king. The king said to Daniel, are you that Daniel? Who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard of you, and the Spirit of God is in you. It's funny how he recognized the Spirit of God really quick when his knees were knocking, right? Now the wise men and the astrologers have been before me, and they said, you know, he goes on and says they can interpret this, and he says, now if you can read the writing and make known to me the interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. I think he started realizing that this was pretty important, that he understood what was being said here on this wall. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be for yourself, and give your reward to another. Yet I will read the writings to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty he gave him, all peoples and nations and language trembled and feared before him. He said, when it goes on and says, executed, if he called an execution, there would be an execution and so forth and so forth. And that basically he was the kingdom ruler. And then he said, but you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. So he saw everything that happened to Nebuchadnezzar, where he, you know, went insane, ate grass and all that kind of stuff. And he said, you've seen all this and God restored, and now you still have not humbled your heart. And you've lifted yourself against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, wives, concubines have drunk, have drunk wine from them, and you have praised gods of silver, gold, bronze, and iron. In other words, he's saying, do you not know any better? He's basically warning him and saying, do you not know? You cannot bring the things that are godly and holy in the temple and bring them into this place of debauchery and just keep, and not honor who God is. And he said, and the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways and you have not glorified. Then the finger of the hand went, the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written and the interpretation. Mena, mena, tekel, ufar. And I can't say this. I speak three languages, English, Afrikaans, and Holy Ghost, but I don't speak Greek and Hebrew. So this is the interpretation of each word, mina. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed David with purple and put gold, a chain of gold around his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede the received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Okay, this is a pretty interesting story. You know, here we are, he's become and he's ruling, and he decides to throw a party, and he brings in, he's obviously pretty proudful and not very humble. He brings in, he throws a feast, he's got concubines, he's got all this going on, and in the middle of it, he's now the king and the ruler. The middle of it, something is written on the wall, and he obviously realizes this is something important and I need to know what it's called. So he calls everybody in to try and interpret. It doesn't happen. So they bring in Daniel. Daniel comes in. He proceeds to interpret on the wall and he really warns them. Now, the one warning that I really feel is important is verse 2. You see, you have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. You know, in the Old Testament, God dealt with nations and people groups when he came with judgment. And so if your king was bad and he was a bad ruler and ungodly, he judged the kingdom. And if you were in that kingdom, you were judged and you were slain or whatever. And nowadays in the New Testament, thank you for the grace of God, God doesn't judge us according to, you know, the group that we belong in, but he looks at us individually. And the Old Testament, I believe, is a shadow for the New Testament. It speaks something to us today. And I was saying, Lord, what are you speaking to us? The writing is on the wall. And this morning, that word that Shannon shared is really my number one point on what these really mean for us today. I believe that we need to take a closer look at what God was saying to the people at that time, the same as what he is saying to us. And so I want to take a closer look and look at the very first one, which is mina, mina. And it's actually written twice on the wall. Once again, I think if God wrote something on my wall, I would really take note of it. Amen? When God speaks to you, we take it sometimes very flippant. Oh, God spoke to me and said this to me. Listen, if God speaks to you, God, the Almighty, is speaking to you, and you need to take note. Amen? He's either warning you, directing you, leading you, confirming. He is speaking to you. And so I want you to look at your heart today, your kingdom, that God is writing something on your wall. And this is what he's writing. Mina, mina, which means numbered. And it's said twice here because it was very important. Numbered, numbered. And what he was saying here is that time is of an essence. And that's my first point. Time is of an essence. Just like was shared this morning, I am coming. Share the gospel. Go out there. Do what you need to do. Time is of an essence. There's a beginning and an end for every one of us sitting in this room today. We don't like to think of that. None of us like to think that one day we are going to either die or be raptured. Okay, that's the reality of life, the circle of life. And we work so hard to keep alive, don't we? We do everything we can to to keep alive and to keep going and to keep moving. And there's a reason for that, because we're called for such a time as this. And time is important to the Lord. I don't understand his timing, but timing is important. And I believe that this king realized when this was interpreted, and it said numbered, it says right here, God has numbered your kingdom and it is finished. In other words, your time is up. You have no more chances yet. It is done. Your kingdom is finished. I want to challenge you today and ask you, what does your timeline look like? I mean, I know when I was younger, I used to think I lived forever and ever and ever. And what, you know, I can do that tomorrow. I can do that next week. I can do that next year. I'll do that when I'm 29. You know, time is just happening and we just keep going. And I want to tell you that time really is not forever when we're on this earth. And just as it was shared this morning, now is the time and we need to occupy it. Amen? We need to be called, because I don't want to be told your time is up and you haven't finished what I've called you to do. Amen? And so I think that as we look at our timeline, I want to challenge you today. Where are some of your dreams that you've had as an individual? Where are your dreams? Where are your visions? What about prophecies that have been prophesied over you? Have you gone back and looked at them and seen, are you lining up with what God has desired for you? Where are you on your timeline? And you know, age has nothing to do with the timeline of God. It doesn't matter whether you're young or old. You have something that God has called you to do here on this earth, and he wants you to do it. And I want you to take a look at your time and see, where am I in time? You know, the movie came out, The Bucket List. It's actually one of my favorite movies. It actually really inspired me to make sure I had a bucket list. And we tend to do that really well in the natural. Like, this is what I want to do before I'm 40. I know before I was 40, I wanted to ski. I did that once, and I was glad I did it, and I don't have to do it again, right? I wanted to go deep sea diving. Hey, I did it, and it was beautiful, and I would do it again. You know, there were certain things on my bucket list, but what about our list spiritually? Where are we on the time list in our lives with God? Where are we? And I want you to maybe go and look up some of the dreams you had when you were maybe younger, or maybe when you got married, maybe when you went into you had your first child. What were some of your dreams and visions? And I know that sometimes, you know, we get steered off the path, interruptions like David shared this morning. You know, you're going along fine and bam, something happens and throws you totally off what your goal is in life. And sometimes it takes us some time to get back. But, you know, we just got to keep moving. One thing I always remember, that it's easy for God to steer a moving car than one that's in park. So keep moving. I know bad things happen. We have challenges in our lives. I don't understand why not everybody gets healed. I don't understand why people die unnecessarily. I don't understand things that happen that are bad. But you know, one thing that I heard somebody say that really hit hard, close to my heart, was, you know, when you don't understand God and you go and you say, why God, why is this, why that, lean towards what you do know, because that is truth. And that is what you have to have faith in. Believe in what you know is real. Have faith in what you know is true. You know, yeah, people die. People get sick. Things happen that are not great. But you know what? I know what is true. I know that God is a redeemer. He's a healer. I've seen it. He's a deliverer. Amen. He's a provider. He is, and that I know. So that is what I am going to lean towards and walk in. I'm not going to lean on the wise, because I may never have the answers to the wise. So why not focus on what I do know is true and what I do know the truth is? Amen. And that we can walk and know the things that we trust in and we lean on and we believe in greatly overshadows my wise in life. So sometimes I have to put those wise aside and just go to God and know that he is my heavenly Father, he's my Savior, he's my Redeemer, his word is true, he rose from the dead, amen, and he is alive forever, and I'm going to live with him eternally. That is my hope, that is my faith. And so even though you might get diverted from your dreams or visions or prophecies that God, I've had prophecies that God spoke over my life that has still not come to pass. But I'm going to hold on to them and I'm going to see them come to pass because they're in my timeline. They're in my timeline. And so I encourage you, I don't want to hear that God has numbered your kingdom and it is finished before I have finished what I have been called to do. Amen. And so go back, see what God is doing, and hope can be restored in areas of our lives. And then I want to ask you, you know, as a church, here you are in the body of Christ, in this church body. What is your timeline as far as what God has for you here in this church? Not when you're leaving, because you're not leaving, but what is your timeline in your ministry area here? God has given each one of us ministry opportunities. You know, we might not all be in the pulpit. God forbid, here I am, help me, Jesus. But, you know, we everywhere, every day, somewhere where we are ministers of the gospel. The word says that we're priests of the kingdom, we're prophets, and that we have the word of the Lord within us. So I want to ask you, where do you fit in here in this church? There's major ministry opportunities here. I don't want to ever hear anybody say, I don't know what to do. We have so many opportunities on ministry. You need to find out what your gifting is. Find out where it is, because God just hasn't put you here just to sit here every Sunday or Wednesday and just receive the word. He's given you something to do something with. Amen. And so part of the church is, what is your timeline? Where do you fit in here? Find out where you fit in. Say, well, I've never even thought of doing something here. I'm just coming here for healing and restoration. Well, you know what? That's good. I know when I first went to Shoreline Christian Center, I went there for healing and restoration. That was in my timeline. Okay? And when God had finished healing and restoring, he said, now's the time for you to be involved and to give out and do something in my kingdom and to be part of the body. And so we did. We got involved and God started restoring things and propelling us forward. And so I want to challenge you individually. Where is your timeline? Where are you at? Individually and corporately as a body. Because I do believe that everybody sitting here today is a minister of the gospel. Amen? You are called for a purpose and a reason. And you need to find your place and you need to minister in this season because it's part of your timeline that you need to walk in. And I don't want to find out that my number is up in the kingdom right here on this earth. Amen. I want to know that I have things planned, visions and dreams that God wants to fulfill me individually and spiritually here in this church. And like I said, you know, one of the things that pastor has always said to me is that age has nothing to do with it. We will never retire. We will only refire. Amen? There's no retiring in the kingdom of God. And I was like, oh, honey, but it's hard work. He's like, that doesn't matter. It's not work. We're not retiring. He said, I will never retire from the kingdom of the ministry and working for God and doing what he's called me to. I will just keep getting refired, just refired, refired, refired. And, you know, that is what our hearts need to be. Hearts need to be refired in our life. You know, there might be dormancy, something in your life that is dormant that needs to be refired. You need to find out what that is. You may have a hole in your heart that is empty and you can't think what it is. Find out what it is and fill it, because God has purpose and vision and prophecies and desires for you in this world. It's not just going to clock in 8 to 5 every day. That is just survival. We don't just want to survive. We want to be significant. Amen? I want to be significant for the kingdom of God on this earth, because that's what it's all about. I don't just want to keep alive on this earth just to have a good time and party. I want to be kept alive on this earth to do what God has called me to do, so that we can change people's lives, change lives, minister the gospel. The time is short. We heard it this morning. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? And that's what we are really called to do. God put us on this earth for fellowship and intimacy with him, so that he could reach those around us, that he could have fellowship and intimacy with them. And so I want to encourage you today, don't think it's time to retire and think I'll get to that lady later or whatever. It's time to refire, find out your dreams, your visions, words of God in your life that are dormant, and let's get our acts together. Amen? And let's do what God has called us to do. All right, verse 27. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. If that was written on my wall, I think I'd be a little concerned. God has weighed me on the scale and it has found wanting. And I'd be like, okay, God, my kingdom is unbalanced. Something is not right here. I mean, these words they had a lot behind them. These words actually brought this kingdom that was standing to naught. It divided the kingdom and brought it down to nothing, and a new king was established. I mean, God is talking serious things here about having balance in our life. And I believe these people were so unbalanced when it came to righteousness, wouldn't you say? That they actually, you know, they had a party, they brought in gold, silver vessels from the temple. Talk about dishonoring God, you know, and they did it knowingly and willfully. He did it knowingly and willfully. And then they ended up worshiping the God of gold, silver, bronze, wood, iron, and stone. I know life can be a balancing act. You know, it's not easy living life here on this earth, because it is two kingdoms. On this earth is two kingdoms. We have the kingdom of God and we have the kingdom of the enemy. And the only kingdom that is light on this earth is the kingdom of God. And so this morning I want to talk to you about how balanced is your kingdom. How balanced are you on this life? Not only in righteousness, but in every other thing that you do. And I'm a little hard when it comes to righteousness in life, because I really believe that God wants us to be righteous in his sight. I believe that that we need to not only talk the talk, but we need to walk the talk. And that we need to be able to recognize as being different and separate. It's a bit of a foreign concept nowadays, actually, when you walk around sometimes. You can be going somewhere and be somewhere, and an incident happens that is really ungodly or whatever, and eventually you get around to talking to that person, and they're like, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. And I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, help me. What Christian kingdom do they belong to? You know, and it sounds judgmental, but it's not. It's what you are portraying as an individual. Whose kingdom do you represent here on this earth? And I believe God calls us to be separate. He's called us to be different. We are called out of darkness into light. And so our light needs to shine. Amen? And I've been challenged on this, and they say, but you always wonder, you know, the way you always wonder the way you are, the way you act, the things you do, you know, and the stuff you have going on in your life, you seem like you're very right, self-righteous or whatever. And I'm like, no, it's not that. You need to remember who you're representing here on this earth. You are representing the character and the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you belong to his kingdom. Amen. When you belong to an army, you are representing your leader, what that leader stands for, and how that leader conducts himself. Am I right? That's where we are. We are in the kingdom of God. I want to represent the character of Christ, the authority of Christ, the integrity of Christ. I want to represent who God is. I remember getting so upset one time. I actually cried for days about it. But I worked somewhere and there was a gentleman who came in and he was trying to sell something. It was a Christian organization I worked for. And I said, you know, I'm not the one you need to talk to. You need to talk to our HR person, whoever, and they will set this in order, and if we need your service. And I called them forward and they came out, and this person was so mean to the salesperson and said, I told you before, I'm not interested in this. I'm sick of you calling me. Don't call back. Don't come back. Not interested in your service. And she just really gave this guy the right act. And I was sitting there in between them, and I was so embarrassed. And she went back to her office, and he left. And I ran after him, and I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And he said, well, that's typical Christians. And off he walked. I cried for days. And I went to my boss, and I said, I'm quitting this job. I'm done. And he's like, why? I said, because how can people so misrepresent the nature of my God? It really, really affected me, and it made me think twice about how I represent the kingdom of God. And, you know, it's not that we have to be perfect. It's not that we have to, you know, be always superior to everybody. I'm not talking about self-righteousness. I'm talking about having a consciousness of who you represent and who you are as you walk out every day of your life in the kingdom of God. It's important. People are watching us. Amen. And this was important enough to him that God went in and weighed them, and it was unbalanced. And he said, sorry, it's done. You're done. It's it. Over. You know? And I want to glorify and display the glory of God. Amen. You know, we're saying we want to see your glory, Lord. Yes, I want to see his manifested glory, and I want to see his glory through each other. Amen. Because we are the representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe there's a balance there. You know, yeah, we mess up and we lose our tempers, and, you know, pastor drives his car and shouts at the person who cuts him off, and I'm like, you know, and I say, Lord, help us, Jesus, you know, and off we go. And, you know, I get mad, and I get mad at the dogs, but I'm always trying to be conscious when I'm around representing people, when I'm amongst people. I have to check myself. You need to check yourself, because God has our lives in balance. He has it in balance, and I believe he cares. I believe he cares according to what we know and what we've been taught on how we walk, amen? And so I believe in balance, not only that, in godly lives and godly principles, but also in everything we do. I think one of the biggest traps of the enemy is not being balanced in our lives in many areas. When I was at Bible college, one of our speakers told us, he said, you have to have balance in your life. And these are the things he gave us. He gave it to us in order. He said, God first, then you, then your spouse, if you're married, then your family, and then your ministry. And that was like, oh, wow, because, you know, being in the ministry seems so important, and it's all-consuming, just like your job is so important and all-consuming, amen? But it was very helpful when we went through life, and we always check it. Is God first in my life? Am I spending time with God? Because God cares about balance, very much so. He says so in his word right here. He wants to find his balance. Are you spending time with God? You know, we always read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. You know, are you spending time with God? Are you God conscious? One of the first things when you're challenged. Do you always consider God when you're making your decisions? You know, I was very undisciplined. Not that I'm much more disciplined now, but I'm trying. But when I went to Bible school, the Lord challenged me to spend time with him every day, a specific time set apart, and I could not do it. And so one day I was praying. I said, God, I need help. He said, stand on the bathtub. I said, what? Stand on the side of the bathtub, and you won't fall asleep. I'm like, you're right. So I got up. True story. Got up. I had to be at my prayer meeting with a friend of mine at 7:30 in the morning. So I'd get up at 5:30, get up, and I'd go and balance on the side of my bathtub. Talk about desperate. I wanted God. I wanted God. I knew God was what I needed in my life. I needed God. I needed to learn the voice of the Lord. I needed to know him and seek him and find him. And I was desperate. Stand on the side of the bathtub. I'm like, okay. And then one of my lecturers said, you only have to do something 30 days and it becomes a habit. I'm like, God, 30 days on the side of this bathtub. I did it. I pulled the shower curtain down once or twice, but I was on the side of the bathtub. I met God there every morning. at about 6 o'clock. And I stood on the side of that bathtub and I was determined that I was going to spend an hour with God. And I tell you what, it was one of the biggest challenges of my life. But I didn't fall asleep, I guarantee you that. I learned how to balance really well. And I learned how to have an attentive ear to the voice of the Lord. And I did. I kept that up for 30 days. And I was like, God, thank you. Now I don't have to stand on the side of the bathtub. And it was, God kind of was like, yep. And if you fall asleep, it's another 30 days. And I was like, I'm not going to fall asleep, I promise. And you know what? That's how I established my quiet time. That's what it took for me. Because I was determined. I wanted to know. I needed that balance in my life. I needed God. And I needed to know his voice. And that's how I learned to pray. On the side of a barter. And that is a true story. Christ for the Nations, Mary Martha. And that's where I learned to pray. And it brought balance in my life spiritually. It made me God conscious. It made me hear the voice of the Lord. And it just changed my life, basically. And then remember, there's you. You need to keep learning and growing and focus on you. You need to take care of yourselves. You need to sleep well. You need to eat well. And you need to do what you need to do to take care of you. Okay? Nobody wants to come and take care of you. You need to take care of you and find out what you need to do. Pace yourself. Don't overcommit. Learn to say no. Okay? You are important to God. He wants balance in your life. Amen? Okay, then there's your spouse if you're married. Don't get complacent with your spouse. Your spouse is a gift from God. Amen? And you know what? His mercy's on you every morning. We need those mercies sometimes every morning. But don't get complacent with your spouse. It's the love of your life here on this earth. And let's honor them. Let's keep them, you know, treat them. Pastor and I have something that we've done since we met. It was when we went through marriage counseling before we got married. And they said, you need a date night and you need to keep it. And the other one was no Bible, no breakfast was the one thing. And Pastor stuck with that for years. If he didn't read his Bible, he didn't have breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. And the other thing was date night. And they stuck with us. And I tell you what, they've changed our lives. And it has only helped us through spiritually and through our marriage. We go on a date every week. Now, my love language is not time. So if we want a date or not, I don't really care. Skip date night, I don't care. Love language for my husband is time. He's like, look in my eyes. I need your time. I need your attention. And so the date night has been awesome. And we started it when we got married, and we do it every week. Friday night is date night. And when we had children, we changed it. Friday night became family night, but then we went on a date Saturday night. He always had time. He always made time that we needed to look at each other and communicate. It's very important. Don't become complacent. Don't take each other for granted. You know, when we came to Austin, we were penniless. I'm not lying. We had nothing. Nothing. We lost everything. We lost our house. We came here. We lost everything. Pastor threw newspapers and dug trenches to put trees in. And we had nothing. And yet we went on our date every Friday night. We used to go and share an appetizer somewhere and drink a glass of water. But we went out. It was our time and we kept it. And I tell you what, it is a foundation to a good marriage. Do not take each other for granted and honor one another and keep things together. It's balance in your life. Amen. It's part of balancing our lives. And then family. You know what? Spend time with your family. It's not always the amount of time, because let's put it this way. We can spend time with one another and not say a word. Amen? We can spend time with one another and not know what's going on with each other. I'm talking about quality time. If you don't have a lot of time, you have half an hour. Spend time with your children. Talk to them. Communicate on them. My husband used to take our girls out on dates. And they used to go out one-on-one. First, I was a little jealous, I have to admit. I was like, they're going on a date without me? It did wonders for our girls. My son was the oldest one, and so him and I used to go out on dates. Just spending time with one another. It's important. God wants you to be balanced. He doesn't want to weigh you and find you imbalanced, because he wants your kingdom to grow. Amen? Keep your commitments and promises with your children and your family. Pastor promised Kristen that he would be there when she graduated from fifth grade at her graduation, and he was traveling. I think he was in Spokane, Washington. He left that day. He drove all night. And they started graduation. He wasn't there, and he promised her he would be there. And I was like, oh, this is not going to be good. And two kids, before her name was called on, he walked in, and he stood in the back of the hall, and he waved. And Kristen, it was like, oh, he's here. And he had driven all night because he kept his promise. He's a man of integrity. You need to be people of integrity, amen, because you're representing the kingdom. Ministry, we are all priests and kings in the kingdom, amen. You need to find out where you fit in. Do it with your whole heart. Study. If God's called you to be an usher, find out how it is to be the best usher. Amen. If God's called you to work in the nursery or with the children, learn. Grow in those areas. Find out what your bent is. And keep going, and God will bless you. It's important to have balance in your life. Amen. Last one. Perez, divided, verse 28. That very night Babylon would be divided and defeated, a kingdom divided and brought to its end. Your kingdom cannot be divided. Amen? You have to draw a line somewhere in the sand, and God will help you keep going and doing what you need to do. I really believe that a divided kingdom will not stand. And so in your heart, you need to be set in your heart who you are, what you represent, and what you do. I want to encourage you to set some boundaries in your life that need to be set. Check some boundaries in your life. You know, we all have temptations in our lives. Some of us, you know, we have to be honest. We're flesh, right? We clay up to our armpits. And we sometimes submit to those kind of things. And so I want to encourage you, you know, if you have a problem with lust in your life, cut out those channels on your TV. Cut them out. You don't have to watch them. You don't have to have that stuff in your house. If you have an alcohol problem in your past, don't go witnessing in the bars, right? That's not where you need to be. Keep away from that stuff. Keep away. If you have addictions in your life that you lean towards, you know, don't have wine in your home if you have a problem with alcohol in your past. Oh, well, it's just wine with that. Don't do it. Don't give place to the enemy, amen, because the kingdom divided will not stand. We are darkness versus light in our lives. We are the dark or we light, and we want to be the light, amen. We don't want gray areas. We are totally opposite than the kingdom of this world. We cannot serve two masters. You know, some of the most miserable people I meet on the face of this earth are ones that are Christians that are not serving God with their whole heart because they live in conviction and condemnation continually. Amen? They never can walk in the joy and the blessings of the Lord because they're battling with their flesh continually and they're divided in their hearts. And my heart cries out to people like that because if you would only taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. And when you taste of him, you don't want to taste anything else. You know, it's easy to quote scriptures to people and, you know, when you see them doing something wrong or, you know, pointing out, well, they just have a problem with jealousy or gossip. Where is your heart? Where is your heart today? Where are you? We need to be able to let our light shine before men so that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Amen. So let's make sure that we have a kingdom that is not divided, that our eyes are set towards the Lord, and that he will bring us to the place that he's called us to be for such a time as this. I believe that everybody in this place today has a call of God on their lives. And I don't want to waste my time on this earth, do you? I don't want to waste my time. I want to do what God's called us to. We want to use our time wisely and to the fullest. Time is short. We've heard that this morning, and it's something the Lord really put on my heart. It may be short because he's returning soon. Amen? It may be short for another reason. I don't know. But whatever it is, let's occupy the time. Let's do what God has called us to do. The writing on the wall warned this kingdom of that. And so let's occupy the time. We want to have balance in our life with everybody around us. Amen? And with God. I believe it is very important to God that we have balanced lives. You know, we used to have that saying, he's so spiritually minded, he's no earthly good, you know. And that is kind of sometimes a true statement. It's like, hello, we're here on this earth. We don't only do this, we also do this. Amen. We don't only praise the Lord, we also shake hands with those around us. And so we need to know that we have balance in our lives and our family with God, our ministry, whatever God's called us to do. Let's make sure it lines up and it is balanced. Let's not found wanting in the balanced area when you go before the Lord and he balances you. Let's see that we're not wanting. Amen. And then let's represent the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of darkness, because a divided kingdom cannot stand. And so I just want to encourage you with those things. I just thought that it was interesting how God dealt with this kingdom, and he brought the whole kingdom down because of the writing on the wall. And I want to make sure that us walking here representing the kingdom, that we little kingdomites, right, that we're representing God for who he is, and that we are using our time wisely here on this earth, and that we're not only using our time wisely, but we're also balanced in doing it. Amen. And then also that we represent God for who he really, really is. Because I want to represent who the true nature of Jesus Christ is. That he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen? That he loved us that much, and that is his character, that he gave and he loved and he blessed. And so I just encourage you that as you go this week, that maybe check some areas of your life, you know. Are you using your time wisely in your household and in the church? You know, are you balanced in your life? Are there some areas you may want to check or rearrange? And do you really represent the kingdom of light and not the kingdom of darkness? And those are challenging things because they are lives. They are lifestyles and our lives. And so I just pray that this has ministered to you and maybe gave you some food for thought this morning. And I'm just going to trust God that in whatever area, maybe this morning you just got one thing, is that I need to do something different in my marriage, or I need to, you know, balance my workload with my life differently, or, you know, whatever area, I need to maybe watch how I walk and not just talk, but actually walk the walk and not just talk it. And I want to be a real Christian. Amen. Do you not want to be real to those around you? I do. There's nothing than coming across a fake Christian. I want to represent the real nature and glory of God in my life. And so I'm just going to pray and see what God does in your lives, and trust that this has helped you somewhat. And forgive me, I'm not pastor. I'm not a good teacher like him. But I just want to challenge you this morning and just share from my heart, you know. Because my heart is to see each of us grow into the likeness and the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's who I want to represent. That's how I want to touch people. Because I'm nothing but flesh. But for the grace of God, here go I, you know. And I just thank him for his grace in my life. And I really wanted to say to Michael sitting right there, you know, I know that you've been through a lot. But God isn't finished yet. He's not finished. And the work he's begun, he will finish. And you have dreams and you have desires. And I want you to hold on to those, because God has them in the palm of his hand. And he will see them through. And you just need to keep doing what you know to do. Do not become complacent. Don't become complacent. Keep that word in your heart. Read it. God will illuminate what he needs to do your life. And he's not finished with what he's done. And he's began in your life. I know that. I know that. And I'm not just saying that because I know the circumstances. When I was actually woke up this morning and this was going through my heart, I saw a picture of you. And that's why I'm amazed to see you sitting in service today. Because I wanted to tell you that God is not done. It's not done. What the devil has meant for evil, God will return and bring it for good. So hang in there, okay? God's timing is everything. And he'll work it out at your time. Father, we thank you for your word today. Father, I thank you for writing on the wall, even back in the days. Father, that you even anointed Daniel to be able to interpret them. Father, you just amaze me, your sovereignty and your majesty and your glory, Father, that we sometimes, I just gasp at it, because to think that the King of Kings, who created the heavens and the earth, cared enough that he wrote some words on a wall, and it changed kingdoms, it changed lives. And Father, just like today, Father, our hearts are before you, and Lord, you write on our hearts. And so, Father, as we sit here today, I pray that you would start writing on the hearts of people sitting here. Lord, I don't know not what needs to be written. And Father, maybe things have been written already and they don't understand. I pray that you would interpret it for them. Holy Spirit, you would interpret what you've written on the hearts of these men and women. That, Father, your desires would come to pass in their life and they would understand what you're saying to them, Father. And that, Lord, as they go forward to be able to use this time that you've given us that is so short on this earth, but, Father, that has such amazing impact. Father, wherever we go, Lord, let our foot, everywhere our foot rests, I pray you'd give it to us, and that we would be able to speak life into those around about us and establish the kingdom of God on this earth, because, Lord, that's what we were created for, was to bring your glory here. And Father, I pray that if you're writing on the hearts of men and women here today about balance in their life, that you would bring balance. Write it strong and clear, Father. That, Father, order is in the home. That, Lord, you bring things in their lives that need to be there. Write it on their hearts like a tablet. Let it be written on their hearts. And let them understand what you're saying that maybe needs to be brought into balance. Father, in their homes, their family, their jobs, their ministry here at the church. We thank you, Father, for it. And Lord, I pray that we would be the ones that represent you here on this earth. Father, none of us are perfect. Father, none of us. But for the grace of God, Father, we stand righteously before you. And so, Father, I pray that where we need to be convicted, where we need to be tweaked in our lifestyle, Father, that you would bring it to our hearts, that you would write it on our hearts and we would see it and understand it. Father, I pray for the finger of God to delve into each one of our lives. Holy Spirit, we give you permission today to start writing on our hearts things that need to be done, things that need to be birthed, things that need to be changed. We submit to you today with open hearts, and we pray that the finger of God would write upon us, that we would hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us for such a time as this. And we thank you, Father God, that you are so gracious towards us, that you speak to us and we hear, that you show us and we see, and we thank you for that today, Father, and we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.